Good morning. Everybody doing good? It's a good day. Holy moly. I just caught a glimpse of a face right back there. Lorraine is back. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Have the girls like been holding on to an ankle each and you just been walking like little leg weights all? Lorraine, how long have you been gone, Lorraine? How many? 6 months. David, you did McDonald's virtually every meal, right? All right. Well, it is good to have you back. We have a lot of DICE folks here, and that when these deployments affect families, and we want to be your extended family, and it's good to have you back. If you're visiting with us this morning, well, all of you, welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. If you are visiting, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would invite you and would love for you to fill that out. Let us know that you were here. There is a spot there. If you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the little box that you'd like to be on our email list. And we do a lot of communicating that way. Tonight, the One Kingdom group that I'm part of is hosting the Exalt worship service I've been telling you about for a few weeks over at the Civic Center. It's a citywide, actually more like big countrywide worship event. We usually have around 2,000 people over there or so, so it's really a tremendous blessing. So I encourage you to make that part of your evening. It's at 6 o'clock. I need maybe three or four of you, if you would like to come at 5:30 and help us be a greeter and pass out bulletins. You can kind of let me know that after the worship service. Our church is responsible for that. I have been instructed to inform you of a new addition to our church family. You got that slide, Lee? No. Well, you work on finding that, and we'll it's on. I've one of your handouts there on your page. I wrote down about that. You'll find it here in a minute. But anyway, let me go ahead and tell you, we don't have the picture right now, but Walt and Natalie Williams brought in a little baby girl. And Vera Mae Williams Enriquez. You know, remember the Rosanna Dinah, that's what it kind of sounds like. Some of y'all that are my age or older know what I'm talking. There we go. Isn't that precious, man? He says there, you know, born Thursday night at 9:13. I think she had 37 hours, wasn't it? 36 hours of labor. Nothing on a day like today, man. 36, actually, that goes into 2 days. Oh, man. I tell you what, but it looks like she was worth it. So we rejoice with that family. If you turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. If you got a red letter edition of your Bible, these words will be in red, which indicates what? These are the words of Christ. These aren't my words. These aren't just some whimsical words that somebody wrote down. These are the words of Christ. Verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Without you here, Holy Spirit, we are just having a party. We're just fellowshipping. But when you are here, as we trust you are, you have the message of life. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority, and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Billy's already mentioned, I'm continuing the sermon series today. Jesus, Lord of 2017. Jesus, Lord of 2017. Today's message is Lord of my burdens. Lord of my burdens. This passage that we just read, Jesus, it's this, I can just see him standing there with his hands out, and it's an invitation to us to come. It's interesting. Jesus invites us to come to him, and then when we come to him and he transforms our life, what does he tell us to do? To go. So it's this motion of coming to him and then going out. He's inviting us in this message, this passage, to trust him, to come to him. I ran across this video. Some of y'all may have seen this. It's very short, but they built a glass bottom bridge in China. Has anybody seen this? Some of you have seen it, I know. They built this, I don't think it's very old. And there's a short little video here of people experiencing this bridge for the first time. Go ahead, Lee. How much are we paying, Lee? Well, we're getting what we paid for. All right, I tell you what. It's okay. It's okay. I'll move on. How's that? I'll just tell you that this glass bottom bridge that they built in China, as people are, it's way above this gorge. Don't try to, it's okay. It's okay. I'll move on. It's way above, it's like 1,000 feet above this gorge. And as people cross the bridge, many of them, they're like clinging to the sides. And there's one of the very last scene there. There's literally, these people are trying to walk their dog across the bridge, and the dog is like, why is it that sometimes when Jesus is inviting us to come and bear our burdens to him, that we're like the dog? It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's like we hold on to those things like crazy, don't we? My youngest daughter, I appropriately call her Knothead. I've always called her Knothead because that's pretty much describes her. But I can remember when she was little, it's like she always, it's like assembling, a new motor out in the garage or something. She's like, I can do it myself. She'd be like two. But she's always, I can do it. Don't we do that? I can do it myself. Jesus is saying, come to me. If you're burdened, if you're weary, come to me, because I have the answers. And yet, we cling to those things. I was just thinking through, this is not a total inclusive list, complete list of burdens, but I was just thinking through some of the burdens, the different things that we carry, that we cling to. And here, just a list of a few of these. Fear. Shame. Guilt. Anger. There we go. We'll catch up here. Resentment. Unforgiveness, unbearable grief. Now, you guys put that word unbearable. Sometimes grief just feels unbearable. Loneliness, regret. That's just a few of the things that came to my mind, that these burdens that we cling to. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to cling to that stuff. Come to me if you're weary and burdened. So I want us to slow down and look through this passage a little bit closer. We've got four different things that we're being told here by Christ that I want us to look at. Jesus, for Jesus to be the Lord of our burdens, we must realize that we all have burdens. If you are trying to convey to people that you got your act together, you don't have your act together. I promise you, you don't. You got something. We all have burdens. We all, because Jesus said it this way, in this world you will have trouble. I mean, he didn't say if things don't work out right, if things are, in this world you will have trouble. We all have burdens. The sooner that we come to that conclusion, the sooner that we understand that we have a need for a Savior who wants to carry those burdens. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe life is pretty good for you right now. I'm not saying we should mope around all the time, but I'm just saying life is tough. It just is. I mean, there's sickness and illness, and there's broken relationships, and there's all sorts of things that, you know, there's financial strains, and there's lost jobs, and there's you come home, and a spouse says, I don't love you anymore, and I want out. I mean, this is a hard life that we live. Things happen. We all have burdens. That word, I know he went on to finish the sentence, but Jesus says, come to me all. Come to me all. Secondly, for Jesus to be the Lord of our burdens, we must realize that not only do we all have burdens, but Jesus has a heart for the burdened. He has a heart for the burdened. Think about that for just a second, that the God of the universe, who's spinning the planets on his finger, who flung the stars in the sky, who separated the earth from the sky, who filled the seas, the oceans, who created everything, cares about you. Jesus, if Jesus didn't care, would he say, come to me all who are weary and burdened? Now listen, I ran across Psalms 34 in verse 17. It says this, the righteous, now this is not talking about the knuckleheads, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The righteous cry out. Some people have this idea in their mind, if things are not going well in their life, God must not love them. No, that's not the truth. The truth is, life's hard. We have burdens. But the good news is Jesus has a heart for those who are burdened. The Lord, it says in verse 18 of Psalms 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So that indicates that there is people that are brokenhearted, that are crushed in spirit. So the good news is the Lord's close to those that are brokenhearted. He draws near to those who are brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Has anybody besides me ever felt brokenhearted or crushed in spirit? You know, we have good news. The Lord draws near to us. He saves us. He comforts us. He has a heart for the burdened. And thirdly, for Jesus to be the Lord of our burdens, we must realize that Jesus wants to carry our burdens. He's not offering to just, say, well, I'll just kind of put a damp cloth on your forehead here, and I'll soothe the problem here that's going on. No, he wants to carry them for us. He says in this passage today, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When you see that word learn, guess what? It's learn means that it's a process of teaching, lessons. Many times, in my own life, I have learned that God he has a heart for those who are burdened, and he wants to carry them because of life experiences. I've learned that whenever I am most heartbroken, that's when many times when I feel the closest to God, when he draws near to me. I have learned that lesson. Jesus started his ministry by quoting this Isaiah that was written several hundred years before Jesus was born. And he launched his ministry by reading this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I love that. To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God wants us to have joy and contentment in life, even in the midst of this tough, difficult, troubled world that we find ourselves in. He wants to carry our burdens. You know, several years ago, Cheryl and I were backpacking. It was one of the first backpacking trips that we went on. And there was a man and his wife who signed on late. When you're hiking, you know, 10 hours straight uphill and end up at 12,500 feet and there's hardly any oxygen, when you're doing that kind of stuff, you need to kind of be prepared for it. This couple signed up late and just kind of jumped in there at the end, and it didn't help any that this man was a smoker and just was not in very good shape. And we started backpacking, and we got about halfway up, and this guy started, the altitude and the fatigue was just taking over. And the men usually have 65, 75 pounds strapped to their back. Some of y'all have backpacked before. And it's pretty exhausting. And so this guy begins to break down. And he would not let us, some of us other guys that were maybe a little younger, in a little better shape. I was actually young and good shape at that time. We're trying to take stuff off of his pack. Let us have some of your weight, man. No. I can carry it. I can do it myself. And we got down to where it was getting dark. It's not a good thing for it to get dark when you're on a trail about this wide and you can fall off the trail. People die doing that. And it was getting dark, and we had not gotten to our campsite yet. And he would walk two or three steps, and he would sit down and rest. And then he'd be there for 15 minutes, and then we'd coax him up, and he'd walk two or three more steps, and he'd sit down. He was to the end of his physical endurance. And he literally began to say to us, just leave me here. I'll be all right in the morning. I mean, just leave me here on the trail. You guys go ahead. And we were like, no, we're not. Dwayne was his name. Dwayne, we're not leaving you here. Give us some of that weight. And before it was over with, he finally did surrender his weight to us, and we two or three of us guys were able to take all of his weight, and he didn't even have his empty pack, and we were able to get him up, and we were able to get him to base camp. Jesus wants to carry our burdens, but we are, for some reason, we're reluctant to give them to him, aren't we? I can do it myself. I got it. And we're like Dwayne. We're just this broken down. We're at the end of our rope. Jesus wants to take it upon himself. One of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 1, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those who need that comfort themselves." There is this idea that God takes upon himself our comfort, and we can share that with others ourselves. It's like us being able to take Dwayne's weight. Jesus wants to take our weight so that we can actually participate in taking other people's weight, that we can be a comforter as well. Jesus wants to carry our burdens. Are we willing to give them to him? Fourth thing, for Jesus to be Lord of our burdens, we must realize that Jesus provides rest for the burdened. Jesus provides rest for the burdened. Jesus said, Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. Man, am I the only one that's a good thought to? Rest. Rest for your soul. You know, when I talk to a lot of people about a lot of different issues going on in life, and man, life is just tough. It just is. There's loss and there's lost jobs and like people that don't have any food and can't pay their bills and they can't find a job to help pay their bills, and there's just this cycle of hopelessness and helplessness that happens, these burdens, and they can just stack up on us. Jesus is saying, come to me. If that's you, come to me. I'll give you rest. I want to carry it for you. Jesus has a heart for the burdened. And the result, the fruit of that is rest. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says in John 14. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There's this idea of coming to him. He takes your burdens and he gives us rest. He gives us peace. He comforts us. Now, sometimes sometimes I've had people that's like, man, I've been praying for this for a year, and God hasn't answered. Sometimes there's a purpose in the season in the desert, the season of the burden. He's teaching us. I've shared this before, but I'll say it again. When I was making my transition into ministry from the computer world, there was a period of about a year and a half or so, year or two there, where God, I was praying and I was thinking all these things were going to just materialize, all these opportunities, and because I knew, Cheryl and I both knew God was calling us to this step in our lives, and it was just, man, it just wasn't happening. Our savings account was going down, their income was nil, and it was just, and I remember, you heard me talk about, I went for my annual jog. Anybody ever heard me tell that? But I just told you, I was just at the end of my rope, and I was just, man, the burdens were just piling up, and it's like, God, where are you? And I just told her, I've got to go for a run, which she knew, you know, she thought maybe Jesus was coming back at any moment. I said, I've just got to do something. That's all I know to do right now, just go run, do something. And I'm literally running. This is what's so amazing. I had no association with Wiley Methodist Church, and I was running on this little trail right out behind our church. And it was dark, it was night, and I stopped under these trees right over here by the bridge, and I'm giving God the business. Anybody ever give God the business? I'm scolding God, and he should have just zapped me. But I'm telling God, where are you, God? I've been praying, I've been trusting you, I've put my family at risk because I trust you, and where are you? And I really felt the Lord just speak to my heart, and he said, Jeff, I'm breaking you. There's a reason for this season, this time in your life, when you think I'm not listening, I'm hearing. And what God wants us in those moments, he wants us to lean in. To lean in and put our ear on his chest and to begin to listen to him. He said, Jeff, I'm breaking you because I want you to know that there's nothing else and nobody else that you can count on absolutely besides me. And I'm faithful. And what is so amazing, it was not a coincidence that I had that conversation right out back behind Wiley United Methodist Church. Because I've told y'all before, Wiley Methodist is the answer to God's promises to me and my family. He brought us here to be in ministry with y'all. But there was that time where I didn't hear him, I didn't know where he was taking us, and I thought he wasn't hearing me. He proved himself faithful, but there was a learning process. There was a training that was going on in me to strengthen my faith. And this is one of my favorite passages also, 2 Corinthians 12. Paul writes these words, and he's talking about this struggle going on in his life, and the same kind of deal that I was going through where I'm like, where are you, God? Why are you not answering my prayer? And here's what Paul penned these words. Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So there's this process of giving up the burdens so that his strength might be demonstrated in our lives. And it happens through, if Dwayne had continued to be stubborn, he might have, who knows, he might have died right there on that trail in the mountains of Colorado. But he finally relinquished, and he just kind of went, "Okay, guys, I'll give you all my weight." There was pride going on with him, which I would have been the same way. But he had to come to that place where he realized he was weak. And we weren't God, but at that moment, we were stronger than he was. And there was a handing over of the weight that he had been carrying. You know, God has answers to the burdens we carry. I listed those burdens earlier. There they are. The burdens we carry. God's answers to those burdens. Go ahead, Lee, the next one. For fear, he replaces that with faith. The opposite of fear is faith. For shame, humility. For guilt, peace. For anger, joy. For resentment, kindness. Unforgiveness, he replaces with love. Grief comes to wholeness. Loneliness, intimacy. Intimacy with God. Regret, we have hope. So I said earlier, you know, as we just, I don't know why, but we just hang on to these burdens. When Jesus is stretching out his hands and he's saying, "Come to me, all who are weary burdened, I've got rest. I want to give you rest." There's a song that I want you to listen to that I want to play here. It's by a lady named Carrie Job. I've played this a few years ago. It's one of my favorite songs. It's an awesome song. And I talked earlier about how God wants us to lean in when we think he's being silent, when we think he's not listening to us and not hearing us. He wants us to lean in to hear that still, small voice, to feel his heartbeat, to understand that he loves us and what's going on. So just, if you would, just if you close your eyes as you just listen to this song from Carrie Job and hear that word.
The more I find you.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, Jesus says, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. If you would bow your head with me and pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is interested in us, who's interested in carrying our burdens. Reminded Jesus that you carried those right up Calvary's hill. Symbolized by the cross upon your back. Because of your suffering, we can find rest. Father, I pray that if there's those this morning that carrying a burden, perhaps it's a new and fresh burden, perhaps it is 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. Our prayer is for rest. Only comes through the power of your Holy Spirit. Take those from us. I'm reminded that you don't take them, we give them to you. Give us courage and show us how. In Jesus' name. Amen. As our praise team comes up, as we close, I want to give you a kind of a heads up that as soon as we finish this last song, I'm going to be baptizing Mr. Fletcher Smith, Wesley and Amber's son, and we will do that right after this last song. We're excited about that, so please stay and celebrate with this family. If there's anything, if the Lord is stirring your heart about anything that you've been carrying this morning, I will be around, Billy will be around after the worship service, and we will gladly visit with you and pray with you about anything the Lord is doing in your life. Let's stand as we close.
come as you are, come as you are, fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are
y'all can be seated. If you come out here, Mr. Fletcher, if you'll stand right over there, buddy, on that top one. Come one more time. All right. Well, this is Fletcher Smith, and he has been eagerly anticipating this day for some time. You know, one of the things that when we baptize someone, we invite the Holy Spirit to live inside of them. I think that's going to be, that invitation's already been taken up. I think the Holy Spirit already lives in this little guy. But we're excited. So, Fletcher, we talked about these questions that I would ask you, that everyone who gets baptized asks these questions. And the first one is about that word sin. We talked about that word, and you, I think you know exactly what that is. Do you admit that you're a sinner? Yes. He's a pretty good kid. He had to think for a minute. And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And you want to receive him as your Lord and your Savior? Amen. And you want to be baptized to show the world that you belong to him, right? All right, buddy. If you'll stand right down there on that bottom rail. Family, if y'all need to want to stand up and make your way a little closer so you can see, you go ahead. You're not. This is a special moment. We don't want you to miss out. All right, everybody, you feel free to come on. I don't want you to miss out on this moment. Who are you? Are you the big sister? Oh, okay. All right, great. All right, Fletcher, if you'll sit down right there and hold your nose. All right. Fletcher, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just stay right there, buddy. Awesome. All right, any other family, friends want to come up? We're going to pray over this guy. If y'all can slide in there and put a hand on, find a head or a shoulder or something to put a hand on. It's warm, Dad. Awesome. You got a lot of people that love you, Fletcher. A whole bunch of people. All right. All right, Lord, and in the name of Jesus, we just rejoice. Your word says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing, so we rejoice with them that Fletcher has said yes to you and that you have already said yes to him long ago. Father, I pray that you would fill him from the top of his head to the tip of his toes with your Holy Spirit. Grow him up, God, into the man you have called him to be that would bring honor and glory to your name. I thank you for Wesley and for Amber and this whole extended family and friends, and I pray blessings on them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're weary or burdened, go see Jesus. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.
lay down your burden.